We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. The Surgeon General of the United States first started warning Americans about the dangers of smoking and tobacco products in 1964. 5 decades later, the effort to combat tobacco use now includes significant taxes on cigarettes, restrictions on advertising, and diminishing spaces where it's still legal to smoke in public.
And while those efforts have been successful in reducing the smoking rate, anti-tobacco advocates say they're concerned about trends among young people in the Milwaukee area, especially in the area of electronic or e-cigarettes. Annika Moore is the coordinator of the City of Milwaukee Tobacco Free Alliance, and Lorraine Lathan is director of the Wisconsin African American Tobacco Prevention Network. And they're with us in the studio. Hello to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Can you give us each maybe a snapshot of the state's tobacco use among young people, you know, maybe in the Milwaukee area and around the state circa 2018?
First of all, we're very pleased to say that statewide, the youth tobacco use rate is actually low. It's the lowest it's ever been. For high school students, the smoking rate is at 8.1%. And for middle school age students, the rate is at 1.3%. There is still reason for concern because we are seeing a shift in young people using e-cigarettes. And I'm sure Annika will talk a little bit later about that.
So we've actually seen e-cigarette use almost double from 2014 to 2016 statewide. So whereas in 2014, more youth were using cigarettes, less were using e-cigarettes, that flipped in 2016. So now more youth are using e-cigarettes, less are using conventional cigarettes. We do know that it's lower in Milwaukee, that the products tend to be a little bit different here, that the flavored cigars are more popular than the e-cigarettes within the city. When we look at the county, then the e-cigarettes are more popular in the suburban schools.
Well, and I mean, it seems maybe obvious that that the use of e-cigarettes has gone up as e-cigarettes have proliferated, because I gather that, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, they just weren't as common as they are today.
Yeah, and there's newer products that have been coming out. So the Juul is a new e-cigarette that has really just blown up. It looks like a flash drive. A lot of teachers in the schools don't even know that it's an e-cigarette. They think it's a school product or a school supply. And it produces less vapor than other e-cigarettes. It comes in flavors like mango and creme brulee. And so they now hold, I think, about 75% of the market for e-cigarettes and are especially popular among youth.
How is price driving this? I mean, I know one of the greatest things in the effort to curb tobacco use and cigarette use over the years has been, you know, fairly steep taxes and, you know, much more expensive smoking habits than used to be the case. Where does that stand today?
Well, I'd say it's a little bit unfortunate that the products such as cigarillos and the candy-flavored, fruit-flavored tobacco products, Black and Mild, they are not taxed at the same rate as cigarettes. So it makes it very affordable for young people. It makes it very affordable for people living in poverty.
Well, so then there are several initiatives underway, both locally and around the state. We're talking about programs like FACT Wisconsin and mm-hmm. Wisconsin Wins, but also more localized ones as well. Can you give us some detail about what the initiatives are that are making a difference?
Yes, I can. FACT is the state-sponsored youth tobacco prevention program. It focuses on 7th through 12th graders. And it's aimed at providing peer-to-peer education to help young people understand the harms and the dangers of all tobacco products, be it the cigarettes, the conventional cigarettes, and or e-cigarettes. And they do a lot of outreach and education through their own social networks using social media. We're seeing lots of gains. As I said, it is a statewide program. There's about 3,000 young people that are involved in that program.
Well, and so how does the message differ when it's a peer that's delivering it?
I think peers are more likely to listen to their peers than they are to adults. And it's delivered in a way more so I care about you. It's not delivered in a way that they're shaming that person, but they're telling them about the risk of using any tobacco product.
And are you hearing about, you know, general misconceptions? You mentioned e-cigarettes, and you know, I know there's, I gather there is a lot that's still unknown by people about how e-cigarettes relate to more conventional tobacco use.
Yeah, especially with the Juul, studies have found that a lot of youth don't know that they contain nicotine. They actually contain a different formulation of nicotine. They use salts, and so it affects the brain differently than previous versions of e-cigarettes. But a lot of the kids don't even realize that they are addictive. They might just try it from a friend, and then all of a sudden they become addicted to the nicotine.
So what do we know about the best ways to, you know, both prevent smoking among young people in the first place, but also to help them quit more effectively?
Well, the prevention piece begins with education, and it also begins with changing social norms around tobacco so that it's no longer cool to smoke or to use e-cigarettes. It goes a lot to identifying who are the key influentials in a youth population, the pace setters, and really connecting with them and asking them to work and collaborate with community partners to share that very important message.
I think also we need to look at availability and access to products, and that's where Wisconsin Wins comes in. So making sure that stores are checking ID, not selling to youth, also that the stores aren't advertising or placing the products near candy or in easy access. If we make it harder for them to get to, that's going to be more likely that they won't try it.
Well, yeah, so go into a little bit more detail about what Wisconsin Wins actually is.
Sure. It's a statewide program that tries to ensure that retailers are following laws regarding sales of tobacco products. So it provides a training for the stores, the owners, and the clerks. And then we actually go out with youth. We have teens that go to stores and try to buy products. So then we get a sense at the end of the year how many of the stores will sell to youth, how many of the stores are checking ID. So for 2017, 19% of the attempts were successful. So 71 out of 378 inspections resulted in an underage sale.
And what are the penalties for that?
So in Milwaukee, we do have a diversion program called MARTS. It stands for Milwaukee Achieving Responsible Tobacco Sales. And so that is a choice for them to go through an educational program instead of getting a fine or a citation. Otherwise, if they don't go through that program, they do have to pay a fine. In some cases, they'll try to go to court and challenge it. So in that case, the youth have to go to court and confirm that the clerk did sell to them.
You mentioned the issue that tax rates are different on cigarettes and other kinds of tobacco products. Are there legislative efforts out there to bring other tobacco products in line with where cigarettes are at this point?
I would say that there had been efforts, and then they've slowed down, and I'm hoping in the new year that they will be renewed or revitalized. So there had been some efforts that even at the local level. And I think because we've been educating about the differences in the tax rates for singles or for cigarettes versus other tobacco products, that there's been a little bit of movement, but we'd love to see more on that effort.
The word singles slipped out there,
I know.
And that's also an issue, especially in Milwaukee, right? Single cigarette sales.
That is a very big issue, and actually, with our network, we have a committee that's working on that issue. I mean, it varies throughout the city, but we do know that young people and adults can go in and purchase single cigarettes. So that makes it even more accessible to youth.
Where are they buying single cigarettes?
They're buying them in convenience stores and gas stations. In 2017, we actually did a survey, community survey, looking at public opinion around the issue of single cigarettes. And what we found is that most people agree that it's a big problem in Milwaukee. They want to see it changed.
Is it legal to sell single
cigarettes?
It is
completely illegal. And part of the problem is when you sell a single cigarette, the state and the federal government can't collect the tax on it. That's one of the big issues. But from our perspective, the big issue is it's a gateway to addiction. If you start with one cigarette, it leads to, you know, the addiction problem.
Tobacco use is addictive regardless of the age, and just knowing a number of adults who have gone through, you know, many repeated attempts to quit, some of them, you know, successful. How is it different when a young person is trying to kick the habit?
Well, I think the adolescent brain is more susceptible, so it's still developing until about the age of 25. And so if people are using these products at an earlier age, I think they're going to be more highly addicted and have an even harder time quitting.
So are there cessation programs, quitting programs out there that are especially geared towards younger smokers?
There is. The Lung Association has a program called KNOT. And I know Alliance High School had used the program. I'm not sure if other schools have used it.
But as you say, this is an especially vexing issue when you're talking about a younger person for whom, you know, like typical quitting programs might not work.
Yeah. And if you look at the treatments, like the nicotine patch, I think is only approved for people over 18.
That's
and
correct.
So now that kids are getting addicted to the Juul, especially on the East Coast, they're finding problems with school nurses aren't sure what treatment to give to the kids.
At the same time, I mean, you were sharing some of the data, especially about cigarette use at the beginning, and mm-hmm. levels are especially low compared to, you know, I'm thinking of what smoking was like when I was in high school. And, you know, there were dedicated areas within the schools that they let people smoke during lunch hours. That, I imagine, is not the case anywhere anymore. Is there a success story we should be talking about here? Or is it too soon to talk about this in terms of success?
I think we're seeing signs of potential success, and that's at the national level. I think one of the areas where we can help restrict youth access to tobacco products is to get rid of the flavoring and the mentholated flavors as well. Those are flavors that appeal to young people, and they attract them to the product. So I think restrictions at that level, we're moving in the direction of seeing some successes. I do have to share with you that although the rates are low for the state, there are populations, segments of the population, where the rates are much higher. Example is the African-American community.
Right. And so why is that? What do we know about why it's more popular in the African-American community?
I think that the tobacco company has a history of targeting the African-American community for its products, a long, long history. And if you think about an industry that spends $1 million an hour in advertising, those messages, they're going to penetrate their target market. So they've been very successful in marketing the product, and that's why I believe low-income African-American LGBT communities have all been impacted by that marketing.
And this is even with the sort of successive layers of regulation on where tobacco companies are allowed to advertise.
Regulation moves very slowly. So we're seeing announcements, we're seeing studies that are going on related to particular regulation, but not all the regulation has actually been put into place.
I think enforcement of regulations varies, especially by neighborhood and by zip code. And so some of the issues that Lorraine's network is working on with enforcement of single cigarettes and other networks are looking at advertising. There's actually a city law that says you can only have 25% of a store window covered with signage. But if you drive around the city, you're going to see some stores that have more than 25% of the window covered. And so that's due to, you know, a lack of city resources to actually enforce the laws that we have.
Right. Rare to see somebody out there with a ruler actually trying to do the math.
Right.
Well, so as we're approaching the dawn of 2019, what are your greatest concerns in the year to come?
My greatest concerns is that legislation at the national level does not move quickly enough around the flavored and menthol tobacco products. A further concern is looking at the funding levels that we have within the state to deal with tobacco issues. Tobacco, it is the number one preventable cause of death in Wisconsin. And just to be able to have the resources to provide the cessation programs is a concern for me. For people who want to quit, there should be enough resources out there to help them quit.
Do you think at this stage, you know, with other higher profile health issues, things like the opioid crisis out there, that there's some loss of attention when it comes to tobacco prevention?
Yeah, definitely. So our coalition has been focusing on LGBT disparities. We actually did a community readiness assessment in 2014 and found that the LGBT community in Milwaukee was in the denial or resistance stage when it came to addressing tobacco, just because, you know, if you think about all the other issues with, you know, discrimination, access to employment, housing, equal rights, and that sort of thing, tobacco really fell to the bottom of the list. And so it's been a constant struggle for us to keep it you know, as part of the conversation. We've worked with PrideFest where they were actually accepting money from Newport to have a trailer there where they were able to hand out packs of menthols for a dollar. And so without constant monitoring and, you know, having people kind of open their eyes to what's happening, people would kind of gloss over it and not even see it as a problem.
Well, it sounds like for as much progress has been made, you still have your work cut out for you.
That's correct.
Definitely.
Well, best of luck to both of you, Annika and Lorraine. Thank you both so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Lorraine Lathan is the director of the Wisconsin African American Tobacco Prevention Network, and Annika Moore is the coordinator of the City of Milwaukee Tobacco Free Alliance. You can read more about their efforts at WUWM.com.